This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour two headlines. Let's have them, Draven.
Start in the NBA.
Give it
to us. Joker. MVP. MVP. What do we think? Jokic. Taking home the trophy, man.
Lowest draft pick ever.
What, really? Did they ever win the MVP?
Yeah, no. I feel like that.
Was it the 41 pick, 41st pick?
Yep.
I'm going to call it a win for my take. The draft picks are stupid. Don't need them.
Yeah. No kidding.
Don't
Which,
need them.
Granted, you know, Jokic went through a pretty big transformation when he got to the NBA. Like, they said he was very much overweight. He was overweight when he got to the NBA. They were worried about how much in shape he'd be and
that. But he was still good when he was overweight, though. I mean, he wasn't MVP level, but, I mean, it wasn't like he came in the league and
not skilled.
Right, I want to say, like,
I agree. I'm just saying, many didn't think he could make it. I mean, you know, 7-footer who's pretty big like that.
Chugging 2 liters and
I mean, chugging Cokes like it was nothing back in the day. Like,
that's still one of the funniest stories to me.
I mean, yeah, but, like, he's still not, like, I wouldn't say, like, in great shape, but, like, he's the only star still kicking from last year's bubble. Like, he's unaffected.
I think the funniest story is the whole Taco Bell commercial going on during his draft pick. Like, they don't even show him or anything. It's just literally a Taco Bell commercial
it's
announcing the pick.
And it's funny that it's Taco Bell.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, Jokic, MVP. What's also crazy? Did you guys see the voting that came out for the MVP? The first place votes.
No, I didn't see it, but I saw the headline that Derrick Rose got a first place vote.
He did.
Do we know who gave Derrick Rose a first
what
place
do we
vote?
Do?
It was the fan.
Thibodeau.
Vote. Oh, it was the fan vote.
It was
vote.
The fan vote.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's less.
No, that I was about to say. That makes a little bit more sense. But Jokic did get 91 first place votes, and then Curry came in with 5. Chris Paul, how about that? Came in with 2. Embiid, Giannis.
Chris Paul got 2 first place votes.
Yep. Giannis and Embiid both had 1, and then like you said, Derrick Rose had that 1 as well.
How many did Steph have?
5.
Okay. So,
pretty big
I imagine
gap for Jokic.
Steph finished 2nd in MVP.
Yes.
And then Chris Paul 3rd.
I believe so, yeah.
Yep. Chris Paul finished ahead of Giannis, or do we know? Do we have this? Do you have the standing?
That was for first-place voting.
Okay, just for first-place voting.
Yeah. I don't know.
They do the
I didn't
points.
See the official.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do the points differently when they're adding them all up. I didn't know if that was the order or not, though. But okay.
Jokic. Well deserved in your guys' opinions.
Yeah, I mean the moment LeBron went down and Embiid went down, it was Jokic's to lose. I mean, and Jokic might have beat them had they not gone down, but it's been pretty much a foregone conclusion the last couple months. Despite people trying to act like someone else had a chance, it's been Jokic's.
You think if Steph would have made a little bit more of a run, could have got a few more votes, at least got him into the playoffs? You think that would have been
No, I don't think the playoffs wouldn't have done the trick. I think that their bad start was just going to derail them. I mean, if you could have gotten to, like, the 4 or 5 seed, maybe, but, like, they weren't even close to that. So, like, they'd had to have, like, he'd had to play that way all year, basically.
Right. Some other NBA news kind of coming out this morning. Pacers head coach Nate Bjorken out after 1 season with the Indiana Pacers. Kind of a disaster. Talked about him not gelling well with some of the players, some of the stars like Sabonis, and he is out. Surprise there?
No. When you have a, like, threatened player mutiny like they had, and you had a player smacking an assistant coach. I mean, the reports were out there that he wasn't long for this world. I'm surprised that it didn't work out because everyone spoke so highly of him in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, they fired Nate McMillan.
Yep.
They brought this guy off of Nick Nurse's staff, and everyone talked about how smart he was, and you thought maybe he'd have, like, a Nick Nurse effect. But, you know, it was a disaster from the get-go. I would like to see, like, how the season would have gone, like, when they traded for Caris LeVert, like, he didn't have cancer. Didn't have, like, a mass in his, like, was it his liver? Is that where it
kidney,
was?
I
kidney?
Say.
Okay, yeah, kidney. That's correct, yes. You know, if he'd had been full strength, maybe they would have maybe finished ahead of, like, the Heat or something and wouldn't have to play in the playing game. I don't know. That roster's good enough to, you know, be a playoff team. So they underachieved, but they've been, you know, hurting the last couple of years. They just stay injured. Mm-hmm. Never should have fired Nate McMillan, though. It wasn't his fault. He lost in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. To the Heat. I felt like that run was coming to an end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, losing to the Heat didn't do it. Like, I mean, the Heat blew through the Celtics and Bucks,
no,
too.
Think,
like,
I think you're right on that.
That Heat was just kind of a juggernaut team. And, you know, the year before, was that not the year they took? I guess it wouldn't be that year. It would be 2 years before that is when they took LeBron to 7. I mean, I don't know. I always thought Nate kind of got the short end of the stick there, but we'll see who they hire now. Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
And he played for the Pacers, right? I mean, Mark Jackson had a long career with the Pacers.
Yeah.
Or at
played
least
with,
was
played
there
with Reggie.
Yeah, I was going to say not in the glory days. I don't know how long he was there, but there in the glory days. Maybe they can hire him. Who knows?
Moving over to
Brad Stevens.
He's not going to leave.
No, he's not. I know.
There's no way.
No, I know. Just Indiana boy.
Should have got Chauncey Billups when they had the chance. They might go back. Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. Should have got him last year.
Jason Kidd.
I just don't see the appeal of Jason Kidd.
Yeah, so six seasons in Indy. So started first seven in New York and then six in Indy. So, I mean, he was there for a while.
Yeah.
Not his first six seasons. Or not his first seven in New York, but his first five in New York. Okay. Then went back at the end of his career.
John, there's some momentum gaining with the expansion of the college football playoffs.
Okay.
You guys seeing this? Apparently, there's been momentum growing to more eight teams or more as soon as this summer is kind of the reports. It would still maybe have to take a couple years to get in place, but it could be something that they have officially locked in for the next couple years. And it says also that a 12-team model is favored by multiple parties. What do we think about this? 12 teams? Is that the right number?
We'll talk more about that later, but yeah, I think the date that people are looking before the next update will be, I think, July. I think it said 17th and 18th is when people are getting together to vote on it.
Okay.
We'll talk more about the expanded playoffs here in a bit.
Okay. Anything to make of your boy, your new boy, Julio.
What about him?
Numero dos. Going with number two. Anything to make about that?
I don't care about jersey numbers, man.
A lot of people care about jersey numbers.
I didn't say no one. I said I don't care about jersey numbers. I mean, the 2, 11, 22, like, trio's kind of cool. Like, I mean, kind of keep it all between ones and twos. I think that's kind of cool with, you know, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and Julio. But, I mean, I don't know. Did he say why he was going number two?
I don't think there was anything he said about it.
Second team, traded for a second-round pick.
That was kind of the report. I did see that.
Was that a report or just people speculating?
Second team, second round. I guess just speculation more. I saw around the NFL kind of tweeted that out, but
basically him saying he's wide receiver two and it's AJ's team, he's the best number two receiver in history, or is it just like, hey, like, I just
don't know about that.
11, 1 plus 1 is 2. I don't know what he's going with. Like, I don't care, though. At least it's a single digit, though.
You going to buy some jerseys? You going to rep the Julio jersey?
No. I feel like that would be a bad investment. I'll buy like a Julio shirt, though. Titans have a pretty good niche of there's a company that has a pretty good niche of making good, like, player merchandise, like shirts and stuff. I'll buy that. I'm not going to buy a jersey, though. Do I need to buy a new Titans jersey? I have my McNair jersey. That's good enough, right?
The classic throwback. Yeah.
That's good enough, right? Like, I got shirts and sweaters and stuff.
I don't think you can have too many jerseys.
I think you can definitely have too many jerseys.
I got excited. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, that was excitement wearing the 88.
What else do you have?
I have a Witten jersey, a Romo jersey. I had a Dez jersey, so I mean, obviously don't wear that anymore.
Okay, so you have just one current player?
I have a Dak jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a Dak jersey as well.
Okay. Cam, you got Falcons jerseys? I mean, I know you got your Deion jersey, but do you have, like, current player jerseys, too?
I have one Matt Ryan back home, but I don't really wear it.
Intern Ryan?
I have a Vic one, too.
I have a ton of jerseys.
Okay.
Yeah. What, Lions jerseys?
No, so I get them for the individual player. So, part, I'm trying to get a collection of every NBA jersey, and I have about 9 teams right now.
Okay.
Long way to go. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially if they
had
two expansion teams. You're not even a third way there.
Nine out of 30.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like anti-jersey guy or anything. I just
kind of sound like it a little
bit. No, I'm not. It's just in the NFL, it's a little bit tougher just because players aren't there as long. Yeah. Like if I was getting Julio jersey, I mean, I think Julio's going to be there at least, I mean, like 3 years max. I mean, maybe 2 years max. I mean, I guess I'd get like a A.J. Brown jersey, if anything, I guess, or Jeffrey Simmons jersey, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough in the NFL.
Ryan, man, I'm glad you brought up the NBA because I wanted to talk about Stephen A's. Top 5 point guards of all time. Agree or disagree with this list, John? You want to hear it?
You already gave it to me. We just did that.
Not on the air.
Yeah, we did. Oh, is it on the air?
Okay. It was not on the air.
That's why I talk about not doing radio off the air. This is one of the reasons I say don't do radio off the air. But
Here we go. Here we go. You ready?
You want me to guess who it is?
Yeah.
Who do I think is Chris Paul's number one point guard? Magic Johnson. He loves Magic Johnson. Is that right?
We don't have to do this. I'll just say the list. Okay. He had Magic Johnson at number one. Steph coming in at numero dos.
Okay.
The big O.
So Steph's the second best point guard.
Agree or disagree?
I got no issues with that, especially, I mean, if you're projecting you still, how his career is going to finish.
We still put Magic at number one, too.
Yeah. You don't?
I don't know.
You have to.
It's hard. Well, it's hard for me to judge, man. I didn't watch Magic, okay? I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch a lick of Magic. I think Steph is pretty damn good. I think he's the greatest shooter of all time. So I think, you know.
I just think we can't, like, overstate Magic Johnson going to 9 NBA Finals. I mean, that's.
Like, how loaded was that team, bro?
Well, I mean,
didn't they have just absolute Hall of Famers and studs all over the damn place? Well, yeah, like, that makes it a little bit easier.
Well, sure, but as a
I guess you can make the argument of Steph with Kevin Durant, but like.
Yeah, and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. Those are all probably going to be Hall of Famers.
Those Lakers teams are better than these Warriors teams.
I don't think anyone would say that. I think everyone acknowledges that the 17 Warriors were probably the best team of all time with Durant and Curry.
What are we talking about? What about the. I thought you meant like the 16. Warriors who went 73-9 had the best record ever.
The 17 team was much better.
But I mean, they had the best record in the NBA.
The 16 team didn't win the championship.
Okay.
In part because Steph couldn't close. No one makes the case that the 16 team was better than 17.
Man, whatever.
I mean, it's simply you change Harrison Barnes out for Kevin Durant. I mean,
I get how good the Warriors were. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just saying the Lakers also had a lot of damn good players back in the day.
The 17 team is probably the best NBA team of all time. I mean, I know people think, the 96 Bulls, the Warriors would have, you know, blew them off the court. Okay. I mean, different styles and all that. And
maybe if
you put Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen in a time machine, they could become really good 3-point shooters, then maybe that goes differently, but. The 17 Warriors, best team ever. No, the Lakers team did have great players.
You're thinking that the best team ever is the 17 Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Yep. I mean, maybe the 18 team, but I would say the 17 team was better just because less year of wear and tear and all of that.
Hmm. When were they down 3-2 to the Rockets? Was that 17 or was that?
I believe it would have been 17. They won, though.
They did, but. Because Chris Paul got hurt. Speaking of Chris Paul, he comes in at number 5 on the list.
The analytics, the way they played, the defensive and the offense stuff. I mean, I'm telling you what people think. I'm just telling you.
Didn't have analytics back in the day either. I mean, if they had analytics back then, didn't have the stats to prove how good those teams were.
You can go back and do that.
Yeah.
They can go back and they've got analytical numbers for that. They didn't have it at the time. So
can I finish my list here? Or I guess not my list, Stephen A's list.
You're the one arguing with me about the 17 Warriors. Go ahead and finish. I'm not stopping
you. Kind of
an
interesting take. Never heard that one before. Number 3, the big O, like I said, Oscar Robertson. Number 4, Isaiah Thomas. And number 5, Chris Paul. He did have an asterisk. I didn't mention this. He did have an asterisk.
Oscar Robertson.
He said if Chris Paul wins a title, that would put him at number 5. So I guess technically, you know, still not number 5. He doesn't have a replacement number 5. But any issues with this list, fellas?
Well, I mean, I think putting Chris Paul at number 5 and saying only if they win a title, like, do we think they're winning a title this year?
Or if Chris Paul wins a title, period, I guess. I mean, maybe not.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like this has to be his best shot. Yeah,
absolutely. Would you still put him top 5 even without the title right now? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've called him a top 20 player. It sounds like Stephen A. agrees.
Okay.
I wonder who his replacement would be. Would it be like Stockton? AI?
AI is not a. You count AI as a point guard? Do you count AI as a point?
I mean, he was a two guard. They always considered him a two guard when I was growing up. Eric Snow was a point guard, but AI is also not better than Chris Paul.
AI is not better than Chris Paul?
No. At basketball? I mean, like, Allen Iverson means more to basketball, culture wise and like player wise and all that, but no, the numbers aren't close. Like, when you just look at how they played and the efficiency and all those things. I know everything's not built on stats, but like Iverson went to one finals. I think he gets a lot of run just for that one finals appearance. I mean, Iverson was great.
Carry him. Didn't play on the best teams out there in Philly.
Well, also, yeah, but I mean, he also did a little bit of the Luka, James Harden type of thing, like where you just kind of.
Here we go.
Well, I'm just saying you dominate the ball.
It's
all the
crazy
time.
Okay. It's just crazy how you have one player who has a bunch of scrubs around him, and apparently he dribbles the ball too much, and you kind of throw out how good they are. That just seems a little crazy to me.
I mean,
Right. I mean, that's what you're doing.
I mean, this
right
is,
now.
You act like this take is new. You act like this. We haven't done this to NBA players their entire time. Like, go back and look at Michael Jordan. Go back and look at Kobe Bryant. All those people had to learn how to elevate their teammates. Like, Michael Jordan put the same numbers up that Luka Doncic did, and guess what happened?
Listen,
let me finish my point. Guess what happened back when the day when Michael Jordan was putting the same numbers up that Luka Doncic put up? Do we need to go back in history? Do you need to watch the 10-part documentary,
He didn't have Scotty. He got Scotty, and it was a different story, John.
Okay, so he didn't have Scotty until when? Because, again, go back and watch it, and some people consider him the greatest coach of all time. Phil Jackson's like, hey, Michael, you got to make your teammates better. Pass the ball a little bit more. You can't have it the whole time. Move the ball around. We're going to put in this thing called the triangle offense, and it's going to it's going to prioritize ball movement and getting everyone involved. And they're like, you know what? Wow, now look, he's a champion. Like, go through history.
I'm not disagreeing, but Luka's also getting 14 assists. He's still getting assists. It's not like he's just shooting 40 times a game.
I still don't understand.
And he's shooting over 50% all these games.
I don't understand how you still don't get it. I
don't understand your argument. It's bad. It's poor.
It's not. Again, go through it. Did the same thing with Kobe.
It makes me sad for you, man. It really does.
Like, it happens to these young stars. They're like, oh, wow, your stats are good, but you got to learn how to play better team basketball. It's just the same thing through history.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. I don't understand how you don't get it. Again, Michael Jordan.
Over there.
Cam obviously knows more about the NBA than you do, but like, go through and read. Like, up until Michael Jordan won a championship, it was ever asked, like, can you ever win with Michael Jordan being your best player? I know we've rewritten this and turned him into the GOAT.
Literally, first 3 years he doesn't make the playoffs, and then what happens? He gets Scottie Pippen, who was kind of that guy that could distribute and make plays and everything.
Tell me more what happens. Since you know more about it, like, tell me what happens after that. They won a championship when they got Scottie Pippen?
No.
Did they? They won a championship when they got Scottie Pippen? Did I miss that?
I think so.
Well, no, they didn't at first, Cam. It took them a while. It took, getting Phil Jackson and, a couple times getting smacked down by the Pistons because Jordan wasn't passing the ball and getting his teammates involved. Despite him having 8 assists, like, he still wasn't playing team basketball, which is, again, why Phil Jackson had to come in and put the triangle in, and he had to elevate his teammates and learn how to trust them. Like, that was a big thing of, like, Michael Jordan trust. That was a storyline throughout the first 4 or 5 years of his career, to which people said, hey, yeah, I see these numbers. They're great, Michael, but can you win this way? Because he hadn't won this way. Again, I know we've rewritten history and made him the ultimate champion, but that wasn't always the case. Like, there's plenty of stuff you can go look at of people saying you'll never win with Michael Jordan. And then all of a sudden, you win with Michael Jordan, and he's the GOAT to people and the ultimate winner. That's all I'm saying.
Helps when you get talent. Helps.
It does. It does. Helps when you share the basketball, too. Again, triangle offense. Phil Jackson gets a lot of love for doing that. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Back here in the Fan Run Radio studios. It's kind of weird how NBA, now there's only like 1-2 games a night. Yeah. I'm still getting used to that. First round, kind of spoiled us with tons of games every night. And now here we are getting 1 or 2 a night. So it goes kind of quick. Last night, obviously, had a couple games going on. Hawks, Sixers. Sixers got a win.
What'd you get from the game, Cam? What were your takes?
Oh, we're perfectly fine. We were in the road game. Cool, we'll be fine at home. We stole one already. I'm not concerned.
Am I mistaken, or was I hearing that, Capella was the guy to slow down Embiid, Embiid's banged up? I thought that matchup was going to go in your favor. I mean, Embiid scored what in the first two games combined? What, 79 points, right? Almost 80 points, almost 40
something
points
like
a
that.
Game so far, Cam? I mean,
something like that. Yeah. That's okay. I'm not concerned with that.
Okay.
I mean, he got the help he needed yesterday, which was the difference pretty much.
When
Shake Milton's randomly going to drop 14 points, hitting four, he started 4 for 4 from three. Like, what are you going to do when Shake Milton drops 4 threes out of nowhere? Like, you can't do anything there. That's just not going to be your night. That happened. I mean, outside of that, I mean, Seth's been good, the whole playoffs. He's been on it.
Cold.
Tobias has been pretty solid, too. But outside of that, he's not getting help outside of there. It's literally just been Tobias and Curry are the only guys that are doing anything. Like, Ben Simmons has been irrelevant. The rest of their bench guys, and even, like, Danny Green, aren't really doing anything to help. They just got lucky with some Shake Milton shots, and, Embiid is who he is. He's going to get his. That's going to happen. You kind of got to try to do what you can to, limit everybody else. And, obviously, it will help if if DeAndre Hunter comes back. I still haven't really heard any updates on him.
Reports on
They've
that.
Been very quiet.
Yeah, I haven't heard any updates on that, but that would be huge just as a, like, you know, a defensive versatility standpoint, trying to slow down, you know, the Tobias and things like that. But it is tough for the Hawks when you get 40 points from two bench guys and you don't get it done. I mean, Gallinari and Herder were pretty good. Yes, Herder's been really good in the playoffs. Actually, he's been really good. Mm-hmm. But
80%, whew.
Yeah, he was balling last night. So he was keeping us in the game. Outside of that, like, John Collins wasn't great last night, but I didn't really expect him to have the same performance as game one. Trey got his double double. He did his thing, but like at the same time,
he
can't
make a three.
Anymore. Yeah, going one of seven from three is not going to get
it
done.
Like the whole playoffs, he's not shot the ball particularly well. I mean, he's played well. Yeah. I'm not trying to take away. He's got his floater going. He can penetrate, do his thing. He's been good distributing, whatever. But man, I feel like he's got to knock down some threes for them.
Yeah,
too,
no, you need him too. And that's the weird thing about Trey is like if he takes a normal three pointer, he actually shoots that worse than he does those deep ones.
Yeah,
it's like that. Like, yeah, the closer he gets, like for some reason it goes down. So yeah, he has not been hitting that just open casual three as much as you know obviously you would like. Outside of that, I mean, Jazz came storming back and
Spider
took care of business Spider. against the Clippers. I mean, yeah, 45 for Mitchell. That will get it done the most nights.
Yeah. I love the
Joe Ingles is their starting point guard.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, no Mike Conley, and they still went out there and handled business. Clarkson was big for them too, dropping 18 off the bench. But yeah, no, like you said, Joe Ingles starred point guard for them with no Mike Conley.
I love
and
the
you gotta feel good if you're Utah if you can get that win without Conley.
Yeah, the playoff P. Chance raining in from Utah, the hostile crowd.
Man.
By the way, that crowd was unreal.
Yeah,
in
they
that
were
game.
Getting
I mean,
after.
I thought the Suns crowd has been pretty explosive. That was every shot they made in the third quarter just felt like an eruption in that place.
Yeah, oh,
you
yeah,
can tell the players they were loving it too.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Durin when they were coming back,
and also
Jordan Clarkson was like three fingers to the headband. The whole thing.
Say what you want to say about you know the refs calling stuff. Like I thought there was a great point. I the color commentator, I don't even know who it was. I can't even think of his name, but either way, he pretty much said, like, he refs kind of ref off momentum as well, off emotion a little bit as well. And I think that was
think
so true
yeah.
in that game, man, because if you look at that third quarter, there were so many calls. I mean, Mitchell's just forcing his way to the rim, drawing fouls on poor little Reggie Jackson who can't handle it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they were getting a lot of calls going their way, and I think that was just – kind of the momentum of the game, kind of how it was going there in that third quarter. The Jazz had all the momentum.
And, I mean, the Jazz, you got to feel good that you got that win there. I mean, Mitchell obviously played great. You love to see that. But at the same time, you got Joe Ingles shooting 3 of 12, and you still get the job done.
And what a coward.
And no Mike Conley.
What a coward Kawhi and Paul George are. Okay?
Coward.
I don't care what you say. You distribute the ball, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think that's been, like, LeBron's biggest issue is he's always doesn't want to take the final shot, always passes it up, whatever.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why are we giving it to Marcus Morris? Marcus Morris, who was, by the way, before he shot that last three, 1 for 8. 1 for 8 from downtown. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
Let's give it to Morris in the corner with 7 foot Gobert in his wingspan. Like,
should have gave it to Luke Kennard.
Yeah, Kennard.
Look at Kennard coming
out.
They've been hiding that man on the bench the whole time, and Kennard comes out balling. 7 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from three.
You do say that, but honestly, I thought that cost them the game having Kennard on the court. He did not play any defense. They literally, it was pick and roll. Switch Mitchell, and Mitchell would either just go to the rim or shoot right over him. That was pretty much the offense for the whole fourth quarter. Was literally, let's get Kennard switched on the player that has the ball.
Yep.
Like, I get he can shoot the ball, but just a lot of questionable decisions, I think, from Ty Lue. Not having Zubac on the floor, having Marcus Morris out there who can't make a three anyways. Like, you have all these shooters, can't even really make shots. Like, Zubac was playing well. He was getting offensive rebounds. He was giving them energy. That was kind of the reason they got back in the game after going down, after having that big lead. And you still don't have him on the court? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, definitely some decisions, especially when it comes down to a close game like that, definitely some decisions that you probably, you know, wish you could have back to try and change the last outcome of that game. And, yeah, like you said, if you're either Kawhi or Paul George, one of you guys has to take that shot.
Yeah.
They both shot away. I mean, Kawhi started out with the ball, gave it to Paul George, who I thought could have at least tried to make a move and pull up a shot top of the key. He just made a big three, complete pass it back to Kawhi, and then Kawhi just panicked. Literally, he panicked.
Sure did. I
don't know. I thought it was kind of a cowardice moment.
Yeah, what happened to that Kawhi who hit that shot against the against the Sixers back in the day. You know, the one who wasn't afraid to take it, who actually wanted to be the guy to put it in. Now he's just trying to flip it off to a guy in the corner with the best defender on him.
I thought he was conservative the whole game, too. I mean, there's times he was posting up. He's wanting Paul George to, like, take on, I guess, I think it was Gobert guarding him at one point. It's like, what are we doing? Paul George can't make a shot. Like, do something, Kawhi. I don't know. I thought it was both really conservative performances from them.
Did we not watch game 6 and 7 against Dallas?
Yeah, a little 45 piece.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were asking where that Kawhi went. Like, he had one of the, maybe the 10 best postseason games
of
all time.
That kind
of
goes to my point. Like, let's go. Like, keep shooting it. Take over it. I mean, you have it, what is it, in wins against the Mavs. He's not even missed a shot in the fourth quarter. That was, like, the stat that came up. Whoa. Okay, well, then be aggressive. Be the scorer. Don't pass it to Marcus Morris in the corner.
Thanks for
proving my point.
Well, no, I didn't prove your point. I think we have a different – that wasn't your point. I was responding to Ryan, who asked where he's been. He's still here. It's game one of a series. And also, like, I think Utah is much better than Dallas. Like, I still
– Yes.
I still think we're overrating this Clippers team because they beat a pretty, you know, a Dallas team that, you know, wasn't a 52-win team.
Don't do this. We're not making excuses for the Clippers. Didn't have their point guard. Didn't have their point guard.
How is it making excuses for the Clippers for me to say they're not as
good
as Utah?
Oh, the Jazz are a much better team.
The Jazz are better than the Clippers. I'm not making excuses for the Clippers.
What are we talking about? Two of the three best players on the court are on the Clippers team.
I mean, no.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You are 100% wrong. Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, my God. Not even bring up Rudy Gobert. He was getting worked by Zubac the whole game. Zubac is getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound, bringing the Clippers back in the game.
Yes, and Paul George is getting held to 4 of 17 by Joe Ingles. That's your point. You literally just said they have two of the three best players. No, they don't.
Paul George is better than Rudy Gobert.
No, he's not.
Yes. Come on, man. Rudy Gobert is 7 foot tall. He's 7 foot tall, John.
I know how tall he is, correct?
They don't even have what do they have guarding him in the fourth quarter? Marcus Morris? 6'7", 6'8", whatever he is, Marcus Morris. Mm-hmm. Like, Gobert has zero post game.
Okay.
And then if you're not getting rebounds, which he wasn't because Zubac was getting rebounds over him, then what the hell's the point of having him on the court? He can't shoot. He can't do anything.
Did you see the game-winning block by chance?
Wow. Congrats on blocking Marcus Morris, who was 1 for 8 from three. He's probably going to miss the three anyways.
He literally won the game by blocking the
Gobert
shot.
Gobert had twice as many rebounds as Zubac.
Yeah. Like, Rudy Gobert had 12.
Plus minus.
Yeah, Gobert had 12 rebounds. And again, you're talking about Rudy Gobert as if
he didn't have any impact in this game.
Okay,
he had one block, which was going to be a contested three anyways. Like, he's going to make that shot anyways.
Let's work backwards here then, Draven. Please tell me what Paul George, who was 4 of 17, did. You want to put down Gobert? Please put up Paul George. What did he do?
Scored more points at least 20. Hit a clutch three at least gave him the opportunity.
Rebounds?
And I'm not trying to defend Paul George.
He scored 10
Paul
more points on 11 more shots. Congratulations.
I'm not trying to defend Paul George. We all know what Paul George is in the postseason, but he's better than Rudy Gobert overall. We can agree with that.
No, we can't. He's not anymore. He is not more impactful or better than Rudy Gobert. He's not. Teams would rather have Rudy Gobert than Paul George at this point.
Rudy Gobert has no offensive game. Like, congrats, you can block shots. He's as good as Clint Capella. He's literally a tiny bit better version of Clint Capella. And the only reason is that because he can actually make a free throw every now and then.
I love Clint Capella, but he's not. Like, again, I don't know if you're just, like, limiting defense to blocks or what, but, like, Rudy Gobert is by far the best defensive player in the league this year. By far.
Congrats. He has zero offensive game. Zero.
How did he score 23 points to eliminate Memphis? He had 23 and 15. How did he do that if he had zero offensive game?
They were literally blowing them out. It was a 30-point game at halftime, man. The Grizzlies giving up at that point.
Why were they blowing them out if the Grizzlies were better than them and John Morant's better than them? Like, why were they giving up? Like,
why were you bringing up last year?
He averaged 17 points against Memphis. Against your boy Jonas, he averaged 17 points. Like, I know that's not like... you know, great offensive numbers, but he's no Jokic.
Can't even post this guy up. You can't.
17.
There's nobody on the floor that's even close to his size. He could literally just back down Marcus Morris and go up to the rim, and he can't even do that.
Okay, well, tell me what,
even Utah's like, no, sorry.
Tell me what Paul
Derek
George,
Favors, come on, bring us some energy for the love of God, please.
Tell me what Paul George did. Tell me what Paul George did. Because this whole argument is you mad that I said Rudy Gobert is better than Paul George. Tell me one thing Paul George has ever done in the playoffs, ever.
That's a moment with the Pacers.
Sorry. Well, for the last 7 years, what has Paul George ever done?
He was a,
I believe last night, he's what? Was that his 11th game shooting less than 25% in the playoffs? Is he two behind Bob Cousy right now? Is that the number he's up to now?
Oof.
That was it was his eighth, sorry. He moved into third place all time for most it was his 10th. His 10th, they didn't know the graphic. That's his 10th playoff game shooting 25% or worse from the field.
Jeez.
He is now in third place behind Tommy Hansen and Bob Cousy. Back in the 50s and 60s when, 25% was normal. So, yes, please keep telling me how great Paul George is. I want to hear it more. Please keep telling me how great Paul George is. Playoff P, who went 4 of 17.
Yeah, he struggles in the playoffs. He's still a guy that averages 24 points a game and was what considered at least a good defender.
He's a good defender, right?
Are you going to disagree with that now?
I mean, that's fine.
Yes, he shies away from the playoffs, which is kind of what I was saying before you walked in here telling me that Gobert is good, is the third best player on the court.
He is. And he might not even be the third best player. He might be better than Mitchell at times. Utah,
what the hell are you talking about? Get the hell out of here, dude. Mitchell was the only reason they were in this game. He literally was carrying them in the third quarter. Did you watch this game, John? Did you watch this game?
Do you overreact to one game, or do you pay attention to a whole season? Like, Donovan Mitchell missed a lot of time this season, and Rudy Gobert kept them in the one seed.
He missed literally the last
month of the season.
And Rudy Gobert kept them
in the one seed. Do you watch the regular season? Like, never mind just one game. Do you watch the regular season? Is what I would ask you. Because, like, again, you act like Rudy Gobert is some scrub. You went to the point of saying,
I don't think
he's
some scrub. He's the defensive player of the year. Congrats. Like, but that doesn't mean he's the...
You went
what?
As far as
he's
last
the fourth
year.
Best player
you went
on
as
the
far
court.
As last week to say Jonas Valanciunas was better than him. Like you've been trying to diminish
okay,
him all
yeah,
year. Like,
I was wrong. Valanciunas owned him in game one, and then Gobert came back.
Didn't own him in game one. They had the same numbers, and Rudy Gobert had better numbers in game one. Like you, obviously, do you just hate the French? Do you feel the same way about Nicholas Batum? Is this about? Do you hate the French?
I like Batum, energy guy. No, I just think.
Dude, they probably have a good
again,
he averaged 17 points on 80% from the field in round
congrats,
one.
Congrats, man. You're catching against a Memphis team that can't play defense.
Against your boy, Jonas Valanciunas, who you've acknowledged, who you've said is the top three center, he had 17 points on 80% from the field while playing the league best defense. If you're telling me he is not good or better than playoff P, Paul Bleepin' George, I think you're sadly mistaken.
I think it's pretty sad, John. Again, when literally the Clippers don't even want to put Zubac on the floor, they don't even want you. Boogie Cousins, that's the guy defending you. Like Boogie Cousins goes out there and draws four fouls in 4 minutes. There's no big guy for the Clippers at all, and Gobert still shoots what 2 for 6. 10 points?
Let's work backwards here. Why do you think they are trying
like,
to
yes,
play
I get
small?
It. He's a good defensive
here.
Player, John. I get that. That's completely fine. That's, congrats. He blocks shots. He's 7 foot tall. He blocks shots and contests shots. Cool. Wow. Never heard of a 7-footer doing that before. That's pretty impressive, I guess. Whatever. Well, but you're telling me you can't even post this guy up on offense?
I mean, okay.
He has no post game. He has no offensive game except literally catching at the rim and either bulldozing his way in and drawing a foul and shooting 60% from the line or catching an oop. That's all he does.
Name me five players in the NBA right now with a good post game. Go ahead.
Embiid.
Okay, one.
Jokic.
Two. I didn't say name two. I said name five.
I mean, you can make a case for Vucevic.
Okay, three. Vucevic is more of a spread-out, shoot-threes guy, but okay. Like, if you want to say he has a post-game, that's fine.
Post all day every now and then.
I mean, he's not as good of an offensive player as Rudy Gobert. Giannis, I mean, sure. If you want to say he has a post-game, he doesn't have a post-game. Giannis has a face-up and blow-by-you game. He's not down there in the post really doing anything. He
has a better post-game than Rudy Gobert.
I'm not asking if he has a better than Rudy Gobert. I'm asking if he has a good post-game.
Okay, but that's fine, but you're bringing up the point. Those guys can find other ways to score. Gobert does not. He creates no offense at all.
I just told you he scored 17 points a game last year or in last series.
Against a terrible Memphis defense. Against a terrible Memphis defense.
Who does he have to do it against? Like, what do you want from him?
I want him to do it against Zubac and the Clippers. I want him to score more than 10 points when literally, again, you're the tallest player by 4 to 5 inches, and it's not even close.
I mean, they played a center for a combined 24 minutes last night. Like, they didn't, Zubac played 20 minutes.
Did you watch the fourth quarter?
Yes.
The last 5 minutes of the game, 7 minutes of the game, there was no big man. It was just Gobert.
That's because they're trying to get Gobert off the court and get him out of the paint because he's so dominant.
And that's
basketball
fun.
Is a two-way sport. Just because you're that's screaming about him being 7 foot and blocking shots, like he is so good at that that he is better as a basketball player than Playoff P. He is better than Paul George, which was the whole point. The Jazz, is what I was telling you, are much better than the Clippers. The Jazz.
And I agree with that. I agree they have more depth. They have more talent overall. But the Clippers still have two of the three best players.
No,
I don't care what
you
say.
They don't. They don't.
Paul George plays pretty good defense, right? Isn't that the notion? Isn't it that he's a two-way player?
Oh, yeah,
and he also averages 24 points a game?
Every year.
You're literally,
it's
yes.
Not nearly
yes,
as good as
you're right, John. You're right. Paul George struggles in the playoffs. They're shouting Playoff P in Utah, yes. Like I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're shouting it. It's in his head. Whatever.
He stinks.
But overall, I think we could still agree that Paul George is still at least a better player than Gobert, who, again, zero offense. At least Paul George plays both ways. He could score 24 points a game and play a little defense.
He scored 10 more points on 11 more shots last night. Is that better offense for you? Scoring 20 points on 17 shots, is that better offense to you? I don't – like, are we just looking at raw numbers or how you get there? Like, this is what I don't understand. Scoring 20 points on 21 shots – is that how many he took, or 16 shots? How many shots did he take last
17.
Night? 17. Scoring 20 points on 17 shots is not good offense.
No.
It's not.
Yes, one game sample size, of course. That's,
I mean,
that's what you keep saying to me.
He had 9 points at the free throw line.
I mean, I'm talking about it. Like, I mean,
that's terrible.
Gobert, again, is by far the best defensive player in the league. Is he as good as Paul George on offense? No. But the difference between the offense and defense – to me, makes Rudy Gobert better. Rudy Gobert is going to finish as a All-NBA player.
It's also crazy to me that we still have this impact of a big man down low when it's all about three shooting anyways.
No,
it's all about perimeter shooting.
That's
why
no,
you just literally said Gobert was pretty much pointless being on the court.
No,
the Clippers are trying to space the floor.
No, I'm saying that I think that illustrates how good Rudy Gobert is, that the fact they're trying to space him out and that he is still being able to stay on the court. And again, it's not all about shooting threes. It's about shooting threes and getting layups. And if you take the layups out of it, guess what happens? You can slow the Clippers team down, hold them to 109 points, which is a good score in today's NBA. 109 points is the new, like, 100 points. I mean, that's a pretty good performance. And you beat a Clippers team, and you hold Kawhi Leonard. You keep him out of the paint. You keep Paul George out of the paint. You keep Marcus Morris out of the paint. They shoot 42 threes, and they lose the game. To me, that's like showing Gobert's worth. And again, I don't think it's a hot take to say he's better than Paul George, who everyone makes fun of every playoffs. Like, you sure you want to be here defending Paul George when Jesus comes back, Draven? Is this
not
the hill you want to die
not,
on? Like,
no, I'm not
Paul
trying
George?
To defend Paul George. I agree. He's describing the playoffs. I literally just said that. Like, he shot away from the moment, in my opinion, at the end of the game. But to sit here and say that Gobert is, like, absolutely some stud just because he blocks shots and defends the rim at 7 foot just seems a little stupid to me. Sorry.
I mean, I'm sorry 7 foot, but, I mean, he can't help it. He's 7 foot. Like, you keep saying that.
I'm not trying to take away that, but, like, yeah. Like, I would expect you to defend the rim and be a pretty damn good defender when you have that kind of length and that kind of size.
I mean, sure, but did we not just see last series against Dallas a 7-footer that couldn't do any of that? That hung out and turned into a spot
We've
a 3-point shooter?
We've literally said the Porzingis is nothing.
But you're acting just because you're 7 foot, you should be able to do this. Like, it's not how it works. There's a lot of 7-footers now that can't do what he does. There are plenty of 7-footers. Zubac is a 7-footer. Can he do what Rudy Gobert does?
Yeah, kind of doing it last night.
Did he in his 20 minutes? Okay. I mean, I guess so. I guess that's why they won, and he played 20 minutes. I guess that's
he had more points in those 20 minutes. Okay. He had more points.
I mean, sure. Again, he had more points. Did he have the same amount of impact? Was he on the court?
I mean, I don't know if you watched the game, but I feel like he was the reason they got back in the game.
Was he on the court when it mattered?
He had two really big offensive rebounds there in the fourth quarter.
They were down 8 with a minute left. I mean, like, they weren't really in the game. The final score is not really indicative.
Yeah, and then they took him off in the final, like I said, what, 6-7 minutes of the game? They subbed him out. And it went downhill. They got Marcus Morris chucking up threes like he's freaking Steph. Like, right? Are you going to tell me I'm wrong on that?
I mean, I don't have to tell you wrong because you're not going to listen. And, like, did you watch any of the Mavericks series? Like, Zubac barely got any run. Like, I mean, I don't understand what we're arguing about here because this all started by me telling you Utah's better than the Clippers. And I don't know how we're going to dispute that, like how much better Utah is than the Clippers.
I'm agreeing with you, man. I'm agreeing with you that the Jazz are better than the Clippers.
Right.
But again, I don't think it's a crazy take to say that still the Clippers have two of the three best players on the court.
Okay, and I won't even say it's a crazy take. I disagree. I think most people would agree that Gobert is better than Paul George at this point. But the larger point was you're asking what happened to the Clippers and blah, blah, blah. Like, to me, I think the Clippers are frauds, and I think the Clippers would have lost a first-round series against anybody except Dallas pretty much in the first round, especially with the higher seeds.
Yeah. Dallas is just so bad. Luka's so bad.
Dallas should have beaten them. I mean, you're the one telling me how bad Dallas's roster is. I mean, did we not just spend the last 3 days of you telling me how bad Dallas's roster is? And am I making that? Cam, am I making this up? Did he not tell me how terrible everyone is around Luka? Is that not the excuse for Luka? Is how bad the team is? So now we're going to talk Dallas is good.
I agree with that, but Luka was good. So Luka was carried.
I didn't say a word about Luka. I said Dallas was no good. I said any team besides Dallas would have probably beaten this Clippers team. Is that not what I said? So is Dallas's team bad or good? I can't keep up with you.
Luka is really good.
Luka's good.
Luka's really good on an average team.
No one has said otherwise. Luka is very good.
It's a bad team.
Okay, so
it's a bad
when
team.
I say that the Clippers only beat them because they're but Dallas, I'm not putting down Luka. I'm saying that you've told me Dallas is a bad team. I'm agreeing with you. Them coming back and beating Dallas does not mean the Clippers are all of a sudden good. Like, I don't understand why.
And I'm not trying to say
surprising.
That the Clippers are good. But again, the Jazz are missing their starting point guard. Kawhi is still the best player on the court. Like, I could make an argument that the Clippers should have won that game last night. They had a 15-point lead at one point in the first half? I mean, like, you're acting like it was just absolutely shocking and crazy that the Clippers had a chance to win the game. They had a chance. They had a chance at the end of the game. They did. Kawhi and PG shot away from the moment. That's the difference. I mean, that's the difference.
The difference was Rudy Gobert saved the game and blocked the shot.
Oh, my God. Marcus Morris was not making that shot anyways, John. What the hell are you talking about? But
like, did you see where
Kawhi
was?
Marcus Morris was 1-for-8 before he took that shot. Literally.
Did you see where Kawhi was, like, guarded? Like, did we miss that? We want, like, Kawhi. Like, are you just doing, like, a big, your, like, best Skip Bayless impression right now?
No,
like,
I just want Kawhi to say, hey.
Like, Kawhi was, they were draped all over Kawhi, and, like they were guarded him. You wanted him just to fire it up and shoot? Like, I don't understand.
I would like him to create a shot. I think that's a much better shot than Marcus Morris shooting over Rudy Gobert. What the hell are we talking about now?
You are correct in the sense that, like, shooting near Rudy Gobert is bad because he is the best defender in the league. Yes, I acknowledge that. But again, I don't even know really what you're so mad and screaming about at this point.
You're acting like the Clippers are just such a terrible team.
I don't think the Clippers are good.
They could have definitely won game one, is my point.
I mean, that's fine. Memphis won game one. Like, the Jazz are winning the series, and, like, there's, again, like, I don't know what we expected from the Clippers. They beat a pretty bad Dallas team with a terrible roster around Luka, which is what I've been told. So, like, the fact that the Clippers won that game, I don't know what we expected, like, them to go into Utah and win. I mean, you expected good Paul George last night? Like, have you been watching Paul George over his last 5 years?
Again, I think when you have the best player on the court, you should always have a chance. Isn't that what we say? It's that you're as good as your stars, right?
And I'm not even going to say the Clippers can't turn around because Kawhi Leonard is the best player in this series.
I was about to say, because when they went down 0-2 against the Mavs, you also said they're done. You also put a fork in them, and they came back.
And then Kawhi turned back into Kawhi of 2019, I guess it was, 2019. Kawhi kind of responded from last year's collapse where he has such a game, you know, terrible game seven, and was the best player again on the court. He started out playing Luka. Can Kawhi still carry them? Yeah, like, the Clippers could still win the series if Kawhi goes back to that guy and Paul George can at least give them something.
Mm-hmm.
And Conley's out, sure. But, like, I was just – A, it's one game, so, like, I don't want to bury, like, Kawhi. That was kind of my point with Ryan asking where he went. I was just kind of like, he's – showed us that a couple of games ago. And maybe the Clippers are just like, hey, we'll go down 0-2. We figured it out. We know what to do when our back's against the wall. These playoff series, like, I just think get overreacted after one game. Like, you could come out of that game feeling good about the Clippers. Do you think they win the series? It sounds like you think they can win the series.
Yeah, I do.
And I don't think they will, but, like, it wouldn't shock me. Because, again, Kawhi Leonard is the best player in this series.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Marcus Morris can't shoot 1-for-9.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, I really still don't think this Clippers team is very talented. Like, I don't think this team is great outside the top two and really outside the top one.
They held the Jazz to 18% shooting and were only up by 7 at the end of the first quarter.
I mean, this Utah team keeps coming in waves, and, like, they have, especially at home. Like, we'll see what happens when they go back to L.A., although, like, I would be a little worried that, like, this is a COVID series here, right? I mean, like, you see the juxtaposition of the home crowds. Like, Utah was pretty raucous last night.
It was crazy.
And the Clippers still have cardboards up. They're still the cardboard Clippers. They still have cardboard celebrities cut up.
Lord.
So, like, we obviously have seen the Clippers be, what, 1-4? Or 1-3, 1-4 in the playoffs at home so far? Mm-hmm. They won all three road games against Dallas.
Yep.
They already haven't won a road game in Utah. So, like, if they are down 2-0, can they go back to the, you know, back home to LA and expect to win two games? I don't know if they can.
Yeah,
because, again, last night the crowd was pretty loud, and I don't know if it affected Paul George, if it's just Paul George in the playoffs, typically, but he didn't have a good game.
Also, we can also agree, like, Donovan Mitchell might not have a performance like that every single game.
No.
I mean, like, we could agree with that.
Eventually, you would think that Paul George or Kawhi will switch on him and stop him. And, yeah, I mean, like, him scoring 45 points.
Like I said before, you were out, like, Luke Kennard being in the game at the end of the game, like, yeah, he shot the ball well, but the guy can't play a single lick of defense.
No,
they kept switching on him. They kept attacking him.
Yep.
Like, that's just bad coaching, in my opinion.
I just don't know who else would you have wanted on the court in that situation because, I mean, Kennard helped win them game 7 against Dallas. I mean, Kennard's been – well, it's funny. They gave him $64 million. But his offense was pretty valuable
yeah.
last night. I mean, even though he was getting attacked, like, I mean, he still had 18 points and hit 4 threes. I just – that's kind of my point about the Clippers team, though. Like, who would you take off – who would you put back on the court?
Zubac.
I mean, they tried the Zubac stuff, and, like, that's why they were down 2-0 to the Mavericks. And then Ty Lue was like, hey, we got to go ultra small. And then, like, the Mavericks tried to come back with Boban and make it real big and all
that's
that.
But, I mean, it's a different story. The Mavs and the Jazz are different teams. Like, we keep going back to that. Like, the Mavs don't have, like, the inside presence of Gobert who can't shoot. Like, that's a big difference in the game.
So, wait, now Gobert is an inside presence?
I'm just saying he can't shoot. Like, literally, he can't shoot.
So how, I mean, how's that different than what Dallas had, though?
Dallas could space the floor more. Yeah, you go small. That's
right,
fine.
So, wait, what are we saying? You're saying Gobert is an offensive threat, like, against them? No, I'm genuinely asking what you're saying the difference is because, I mean, like.
I'm just saying you don't have to go. Why go small against this Jazz team is my question. Why go small? You have a Donovan Mitchell who's all about attacking. This Jazz team can shoot the ball pretty well, but they're also – the reason they got back in the game is because they kept penetrating.
Well, I think you go
and
small.
And there's no big for the Clippers to stop
I think you go small because you don't have a big. Like, Zubac's not good. DeMarcus Cousins isn't good.
He's better than throwing Luke Kennard who can't play defense. Like, I mean, Luke Kennard can shoot. He's better than Marcus Morris who doesn't play defense and also did not shoot the damn ball at all last night.
But the Clippers won that last series because they went small.
But it's a different team,
point. If you don't think Rudy Gobert is a post threat, then it's not because Dallas, the only difference is Gobert. Dallas wants to spread you out and shoot threes. Utah's to spread you out and shoot threes. It's the same setup. I don't understand what you're saying. A different team. It's not like they had a Jokic or a Embiid out there. They're trying to get off the court. Dallas didn't have a post player either, and you're saying Rudy Gobert's not a post player, so...
But the difference in the game was, again, their ability to penetrate. Was Mitchell just getting to the rim because there's nobody to stop him at all? That was the difference of the game. Bogdan was not even – I mean, what did he shoot from three? 3 for 6? I mean, most of his points were coming from penetrating.
Is Mitchell not doing
getting
the same
to
thing?
The line. They were getting fouls.
But
there
again,
was no, Reggie
not,
Jackson.
Is Mitchell not doing the same exact thing Luka was doing? I mean, that was pretty much a Luka game last night. I mean, the way he was getting to the rim, Luka was doing the same thing to him. I mean –
And they couldn't stop Luka either. I just don't think you're going to stop anybody with nobody guarding the rim at all.
I just don't think Zubac or this
Zubac.
Version of
so you're trying
DeMarcus
to tell me Zubac
Cousins.
Is not as good as Marcus Morris at playing defense
I
or
no,
defending
I,
the rim?
I mean,
defending the rim.
Defending the rim. I mean, like if you're just saying like big man jumping up, I don't know. But like the idea of having 5 perimeter defenders, like that's kind of what – you want to do in the NBA unless you have a
by the way, Zubac had 3 blocks last night as well.
Blocks
just saying. Blocks don't matter, but Rudy Gobert getting all his blocks, that matters, right?
No, what I'm saying is blocks don't equate to defense, Draven. Like, you haven't heard me reference Rudy Gobert's blocks. You've heard me reference Rudy Gobert, well, besides the game winning one on the three. You hear me reference Rudy Gobert's rim protection. There's a different thing. It's not all about blocks. No one make the case Miles Turner's the best defender in the NBA. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, Zubac can have 3 blocks, but, like, if he's on the other 30 possessions, if he's getting switched down to pick and roll and getting blown by, like, that doesn't mean he's a good defender just because he had 3 blocks. I don't think you can just look at block totals. Like, Gobert, if you look at, like, just the analytics of protecting the rim and, you know, shying people away and all the, you know, the team defense he does, that, to me, is what is much more important than just blocking shots. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. I mean, I think, again... Zubac isn't known for his defense. And it goes to the point of I think the Clippers are, you know, kind of just flawed as a roster. I still don't think they're very good.
Yeah.
Cam, who do you think the Clippers or Jazz were in the series before Game 1?
I thought the Jazz would win it.
Yeah. Nothing to change your mind in Game 1?
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah. Clippers came out fast, though. They came out fast. But, yeah, if the Jazz got it done without Mike Conley and Ingles shooting like that, I think they'll be all right.
Now, again, I don't think Mitchell's going to drop 45 too more often.
I also don't know if Mike Conley's even going to play in the series. They act like Game 2 is pretty doubtful, the way they were talking about
Game 2 might be, but maybe it's one of those situations you can come back in Game 3 or 4. If you take care of business and win your first two games at home, then you can theoretically rest until Game 5.
But, I mean, it's a hamstring, right? Hamstring issue. Yeah. I mean, those just seem deadly, especially for a guy that's really good at penetrating, shooting his floaters. I think that's going to be a tough situation for him.
That can re-aggravate, but again, I think if you win Game 2, then you could theoretically just bring him back for Game 5 and say, let's just win our two home games and we win the series. That's the beauty of having home court.
By the way, again, I don't want to make this about the refs, but the Jazz were getting some calls their way. They were. And I think it was just the momentum going their way in that second half. And I think that, I mean, there was times where Mitchell would just take it at Jackson and it was just barely any contact. They'd be calling fouls. Like, there was a lot of questionable fouls on, on the Jazz side.
That goes to the point of what I'm saying. Like, the juxtaposition of this series is going to be funny, seeing the home court. Because the Jazz are going to have a home court advantage and the Clippers won't. Hour 2 in the books. Is that 45 minutes of Jazz Clippers talk?
Yeah. Pretty, pretty
so
close.
Why are you so fired up about the Jazz and Clippers? Why do you hate Rudy Gobert so much?
I just hate your Pepe poor Le takes, Pew? Man.
Pepe Le Pew do something to you as a kid? Is that it? Have you canceled him? Is it the woke? Are you a part of the woke culture? Is it because of Pepe?
I just think Rudy Gobert literally is the most overrated player in the NBA.
I think if you poll.
Name a more overrated player.
Paul George, if you think he's better than Rudy Gobert. Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 of headlines.